And if you listen to this radio attentively, I'm gonna show you all the women smarter than me. Oh, not me. It's some people who say that the men leading the women astray, but I say, oh Lord, that the women of today smarter than men in every way. Samson was the strongest man long ago. No one could have beat him, as we all know. And when he clashed with a woman on top of the bed, she found out that the strength was in the Jehovah's head. Oh, not me. There's some people who say that the men leading the women astray, but I say, oh Lord, that the women of today smarter than men in every way. I was treating a girl of a safari, and listen how she used up the brand on me. I was giving up.
All right, well, you heard it here on Sferio. Man smart, but the woman smarter. It's King Radio. This is off of Calypso Gold, some of the original Calypso recordings from Trinidad, going all the way back from the 1920s and into the 40s. I believe this was in the 40s that we had this guy graced the recording studios with this piece. We, of course, put this on here because Cambridge Carnival is this weekend. It's the 16th year of the Cambridge Carnival Caribbean Style Festival, and it's happening this Sunday from 12 noon to 7 p.m. Kendall Square. It's where it's all going to be happening. Actually, it goes through Central Square as well. Here, I'll give you the rundown of the parade. It's a 1.5-mile parade. It starts at 1 p.m. near the Charles River at River Street and Blackstone Street here in Cambridge. Goes through Central Square, passes along Mass Ave, goes up Main Street, ends over here near MIT. And the festival party site will be in Kendall Square after the parade. There will be live music, there will be food, exotic arts and crafts, steel drums performing, kids' activities. You can't say that there will not be exciting, fun stuff to do. And that is the Cambridge Carnival, the Sferio announcements for you today. We didn't even play the announcement music. But we'll play this instead. 7 p.m. here at WMBR Cambridge. Sferio says goodbye to you. We'll catch you out there in the carnival, perhaps, on Sunday. And if you have any fine questions, comments, or what have you, you can, of course, always contact us at sferio@wmbr.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next Friday.
Everybody's going crazy, we all gonna have some fun. Feeling high, it's alright, dance to the rhythm of the night. Round and round, upside down, we only wanna get down. Come on baby, just take my hand. Hear the look into my eyes, you will understand. Yeah. Come on baby, just take my hand. People like to hear the tum tum. Asian people like to hear me tum tum. Latino people like to hear me tum tum. American people like to hear me tum tum. Bang bang on that conga baby. Bang bang.
Recent increases in smuggling are putting American food sources at risk. People and businesses are smuggling live birds and poultry products to sell online, in specialty groceries or outdoor markets. They may think they are simply catering to their customers' tastes. What they are really importing is trouble. Importing outside USDA safeguards is not only illegal, it threatens American food production. Smuggled poultry products or smuggled birds can bring in diseases, such as exotic Newcastle disease or avian influenza, bird flu, into the U.S. We need your help to make sure that what is grown and raised here stays safe from foreign pests and disease. If you suspect a business is importing or selling illegal birds or poultry products, call the Agriculture Hotline at 1-800-877-3835. You can make an anonymous report or find out exactly which products are prohibited. America's food supply is too important to let smugglers put it at risk. Report smuggled birds and poultry products.
A message from the United States Department of Agriculture.
All right! All right! All right!
ومرحبا من الدكتور جالس السكران. Today with you for music for human being. And I cannot tell you how lovely it is to be with you. So I won't. But it is truly lovely. And today in the studio with me, I am alone. And it is a strange occurrence because, you know, usually we have two or three points, you know, approximating a circle as my dear friend and mentor Arthur Rainbow Beam used to say. But today I'm alone, and there is a very good reason for this. It is that last week we had a concentration of, you know, meditative energy that was so great that it caused a singularity breach in the transmitter. And the result was that WMBR was off the air for, you know, a few hours. So I apologize for that to the listening community. But I'm with all of you, all of my listeners, all of the people in the world who are there. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to do so. The number thereof is 617-253-8810. Hello, you're on the air. Hello. So that's an example of what we call a missed connection. Here at, you know, Music for Human Beings, we are looking into cohesion and organization, intellectual and emotional appeal. So let's see what our caller has to say about this. Hello, you're on the air? Hello.
Hello.
Marhaban.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi. This is Aurora.
Oh, marhaba, Aurora.
Hi. How's everything with you?
Oh, it's amazing. Although, I'm sorry that you are unable to join me because of the psychic interference.
Oh yes, I decided time to go back to the forest in the middle of a large landmass and get everything under control. I'm sitting in a little cottage in the human experience and communing with the deer and the rabbits. At night, I sleep outside.
And during the day, you sleep inside?
Yes, usually. I mean, there's a lot of energy that goes into my nightly meditation. And at times during the day as well, I'm exploring and connecting myself with nature once more.
And what does nature say to you?
So many things. It's a huge jumble of words and suggestions, and I still haven't untangled a lot of it yet. But for now, it's saying, you know, stay and rest and be one with your body and pee behind the bush, because then the bush will be happier and you will be happier. And that's how life should be.
Yeah, this is a truly interesting phrase, to pee behind the bush. It's a system of really... I mean, you know, the word religious is so, baggagey. But if there is a word that means religious without all of the connotation, then the statement that you make, it offers a religious doctrine on a high philosophic level, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a spiritual statement. It's telling you to, you know, to live and let live and to aid one another when possible.
Precisely. Which is a real departure from, you know, the dog-eat-dog doctrine that we hear so often from the rest of the world.
Life dogs never really eat each other that much anyway. It's a misnomer.
It's a misnomer, yeah. It's inaccurate to say dogs eat dogs. Yeah, so this is a personal and warm and emotional, you know, thought. Sort of, it's so basic, but it offers a philosophical explanation of the universe, you know. It's just people helping other people.
Yeah, well, I mean, another way to look at it, I mean, this works for life in its entirety. The wolf that eats the rabbit is actually helping all the rabbits. It's eating the rabbit and leaving the waste behind, and from the waste grows, and the rabbits eat the grass.
And the, you know, the animal eats the rabbit, and there's harmony there that, you know, one animal eats the other animal, and the other animal eats the other animal, and everyone's eating everyone else all the time. And,
but they're also feeding everyone else.
And it's very balanced. Because there's no, you know, favorite one, you know, that doesn't eat anyone else or that doesn't get eaten by anyone else. Everyone is eaten all the time. Yeah, there is an alternate belief system in the that I've heard that's somewhat prevalent, which defines something called an apex predator. And, you know, apex has this word with many connotations of positivity, you know, that you want to be on the top and let me reach the apex. But the apex predator, you know, another way of looking at it is it's the animal that no one wants to eat. That's the apex predator.
That's certainly true.
It's the nasty one.
But it's also the animal that gets less help.
Aurora, how have your journeys been since you were here in Boston?
They have been difficult at times, but other times easier. And I lost harmony with myself over in Cambridge in the radio station. I lost harmony with my surroundings, and I needed to get out of the city, away from the people and the pollution and the inability to see the sky. So now I'm better about regaining my harmony. And how are you?
Well, Aurora, it's strange being in a world where there are so many cars moving so quickly.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You know, it's a strange statement, but the cars really, for a moment, make me feel disconnected from my natural self. that they move so fast, and so much faster than I could ever run or walk, that I really, you know, when I'm outside of the car and look at it move, I feel very human and very fragile and very weak. And then when I'm inside the car driving, I feel never more disconnected from my natural self. And I fear that I might not be able to stop. You know, I've had a dream that I'm driving and I can't find the brake. And I'm moving faster and faster, and a hill appears and I fly into the air, and there's a rainbow, and I zoom under the rainbow and I find leprechauns. And I sing with the leprechauns and I dance with the leprechauns, and they give me gold and many gifts and green things. And then I find that my flying aerial vehicle requires a special plutonium gas which the leprechauns do not possess, and I'm trapped there with them in their leprechaun paradise.
Well, I find this interesting. It seems you want to go back to the green things and plutonium fuels. Perhaps you feel more fragile in the car than out of it.
There is some truth to that. The car makes me feel very disconnected from my humanity. And I feel that I may never be able to reach it again. That my humanity may leave me, and I will be a car being somehow.
You should come with me on this forest truck. It's, you'll regain your balance here. You look at the other deer and you see how magnificent and graceful they are, but they're real. They're not mechanical. They're not these metallic things that run on fuel. I sense in your voice a quiet desperation when you're explaining your circumstances. Perhaps meditating with agate, Scrabbles would know more about this.
Well, Scrabbles is a fountainhead of knowledge. You know, behind this hidden face, there is a fountainhead of knowledge and of authority. You know, he possesses esoteric truths that are hidden from the uninformed.
I think we all, to a certain extent, they are just different esoteric truths. But his are certainly amazing.
And he is truly a distinguished theologian. He may even be the sole rightful leader of mankind.
Is there any sole rightful leader of mankind?
Well, if there is, it would definitely be Scrabbles.
Most probably. It is easy to find harmony with him.
Mm. You know, I'm not really into the music today. I'm having a hard time. Let's switch to some Iraqi music. What do you think, Aurora?
I don't think I've ever heard any.
No Iraqi music?
No, I haven't.
Allah, let's see.
I'd be very interested in learning. Thank you. That is gorgeous.
So this is Rahim al-Hajj. He's playing the oud, which is a pear-shaped guitar-like instrument. It's like a guitar, and it's pear-shaped. And it's common in many countries, but Iraq is known for, you know, some very famous oud players.
Interesting that the phrase pear-shaped, how it means something so negative, yet something so pear-shaped can lead to beautiful sounds.
Yeah, I remember William Shakespeare said, what was it, in Much Ado About Nothing, he said, is it not strange that men's souls should be called out by the guts of an animal, or something to that effect? And he was referring to the practice of making instruments from the intestines of many animals. So, you know, nowadays the stringed instruments like the electric guitar are usually made from rope or from silk or from metal, you know, creatures. But in those days it was made from guts and intestines and stringy things. And he thought it was strange that, you know, even though it's some repulsive thing, that there it is bringing out your soul and making you feel all these wonderful feelings and making you float into the air and dance with the air dolphins.
Absolutely gorgeous sentiment. I think it says a lot of what we're trying to say here on Music for Human Beings. The music, it's circular, you know? Everything is a circle. You have this circle that ties you in with the earth, that their guts are the things that are creating the music, along with the souls of the humans, that we are all tied together intimately.
Yeah. And yet it's so easy to be fooled by these things. You know, I had a dream once that when I was a boy, that I had gone to heaven, and all around me were beautiful people dancing and enjoying themselves and drinking milk and honey and wine and eating delicious sandwiches, and I was very happy there in my Eden. And then I woke up and found myself in my hovel alone, drinking soy milk, eating tofu, and a man came to me. And the man said to me, he said, Ya Doctor Jalis Sakran, he said, the leader of the Hashashin has requested to see you. And so I went to the Hashashin, the leader, and the man said to me, Ya Doctor Jalis Sakran, He said, God has sent you a vision of what will come to you if you devote yourself to me. And this was his explanation for my vision. Uh, And this was how I, you know, understood what had happened. And then I believed him, and for a moment I was fully devoted to him. If the man should have told me to leap off of a tall building or to, you know, to dance naked in a football stadium, I would have done it. But then I found something very unusual on my back. It was from an insect in my dream. A bite that was so large and inflamed and protuberant and red, and I knew that the vision had been no vision, that it was real, that they had drugged me, kidnapped me, and took me to some hidden garden. And the change was apparent in my face. For the leader of the Hashashin called to have me executed. So I called upon the demons and upon the forces to repel these things and to save me. And they did not. And I was executed the next day. But this is how I got into, you know, the skin sort of things, because the skin, my skin, saved me. It rescued me from a lifetime of servitude and a guaranteed afterlife of milky honey sweetness in a garden under the endless night and moonless stars. So I became a transdermal mediator.
You found that skin usually tells the truth when lies are otherwise unapparent.
Yeah, they, you know, there is an expression in English, I don't know if you know it, Aurora. It says, the walls have ears.
Yeah.
Well, the skin has ears too.
Really?
Well, there are two ears.
Oh, that's true.
Well, Aurora, would you like to give us our number?
Sure. Please call in. It's 617-253-8810. Share stories, ask for help or advice.
Or if you'd like to tell me about your dreams or any particularly skin disorders that you may have, or, you know, if there are candle questions, you know, or voice questions, we have Aurora on the line, and we have one line open.
Yes, definitely. Please ask me any questions you possibly can. I had a very strange affliction in Boston that actually cleared up basically the day after I got here.
After you left, yeah, the cars, it sounds really strange, but it's true, it's actually true. The cars are very bad for the skin, just being around cars. It's like, you know, there's this belief about smokers, that if you are, you know, spend your time hanging out with people that smoke a lot, then, you know, you could get the negative effects of smoking without the, you know, any of the positive effects, because you're not actually smoking. So there's a similar thing with cars, that for the skin, that even though you may not be driving, you know, and therefore you are not, you know, experiencing wonderful luxury and moving very quickly, and also the wonderful experience of feeling very disconnected from your humanity and being like a machine. Even so, there is in the back of most cars, there is a what's it called? Do you know?
Exhaust pipe.
Yeah, and this thing emits substances that are very harmful to the skin, and they can cause these angry bumps that are called Hab Shabab, Aurora, what do you call it in English?
Pimples or zits.
Zits. The zits are from the car. Even if you are not driving, even if you are just riding the car, or if you are close to the highway, or watching cars on TV, or even if you are imagining cars, it's possible, if the imagination is very vivid. One time I was meditating, and I possessed a car for a short time and really scared the driver, and when I finally came back out of the meditation after 24 hours of romping around, my body was covered in roses and very very unusually shaped flowers and things. I had a very, very big tattoo that took an exorcist to remove.
See, I felt my body rejecting the cars and the smokes and the bustle. It's really the fast pacedness. I think that was expressed in my skin as well as in my voice.
Yeah. Yeah, really. It was really very unusual skin.
Cleared up now.
Well, Aurora, we have, it seems, another caller. Let's see if it's a human being or a robot or a car or, you know, we'll find out.
Or a leprechaun.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of transcendental dermatology.
Transdermal mediation.
Transdermal mediation.
Mm-hmm.
We have noticed, and this is, we've done this experiment four times, and when we, my wife has severe acne on her back, and she's very psychically attuned as well, very empathic. She's often been, in our community, been known to have some shamanic abilities, but when we drive the car, when we put the car in reverse and drive it backwards, her skin clears up.
Oh, this is really fascinating. Driving backward. So how far do you have to drive?
It's usually, if we can, about a half a mile. And we try to find a very, very large parking lot. Like a Walmart or something, and try to get right on the edge of it, we have to go fairly slowly because we don't want to have shopping carts or shoppers or something. But keep going, and the skin will change color, kind of minute by minute. I think it takes about 8-10 minutes. We did that three times, and it's done it every time for three times.
But does she habitually ride a car?
Does she what?
Is it her nature to be riding cars?
Oh, yeah, we're solid citizens. We're always in these cars. We've been in a little bit less since the gas went up so high, but, I mean, we go out there and drive. Forward,
you know? Yeah. But what you could do, and I mean, I know this is a sort of radical suggestion.
Yes, sir.
But if you could somehow strap her down so that she's sitting backwards, securely in the car, and then drive forwards, the car.
Yes.
So that's, of course, be concerned with her safety because she should be, prevented from, striking the dashboard or any of the edges of the car in the case of any kind of thing. But you know.
Is that legal?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know anything about the driving regulations, but
yes.
But if it's possible, that would, I think, be a safe alternative. Of course, then, you know, eventually, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's possible that she could, instead of getting protrusions, she could get, maybe dimples would be the right word.
Yeah, or maybe she could break out on her chest.
Yeah, that's the other possibility.
Because let me tell you one other thing that we did the driving backwards three times, and her skin cleared up. The fourth time, we were, that's right, because that ties in with what you were saying. The fourth time, she was facing backwards, and we were driving backwards, and nothing happened. Driving backwards, so So driving forward with her facing backwards is something we haven't done, but driving backwards with her facing backwards hasn't worked. That's the fourth time but that's, you know, so we're searching for the meaning of this and which way, you know, you thought we should perceive, and we hadn't thought about her facing backwards while we're going forward.
That's the simplest thing, right? You know, you treat the symptoms, but I mean, if you really want to get into the root of it, it's very sad, but she's just very sensitive to what we're all feeling, which is there are too many cars. And
yes.
Those cars, they emit sort of carbonous, air gases and liquids.
Oh, I see. Yes.
And it has a very malodorous and deleterious effect on the dermis, and there is really, you know, it's very frustrating, but no amount of meditation will cure it unless she can meditate very vividly traveling backwards in a car. But she may be sick, you know what I mean, she may begin to vomit or to crave a hamburger, or you know, it's very hard
she
to
does
say
crave the hamburger.
She does. So
she does.
I think there is very, I mean, you know, I think what's the only possible, like, really long-term solution is to have her sit backwards in cars.
Yes.
Or sideways. You know, sideways may also, you know, just neutralize it.
Well, in terms of your co-host is female as well, I was wondering if she had any feedback on this as a woman. Because I'm just, you know, I'm playing with my wife's health in here, and I just, I trust you all completely. I was just wondering if she had any input in terms of, you know, her perspective.
Aurora?
As a voice therapist, there are a couple of suggestions that I would make. Have you noticed tremors in her speaking as you drive backwards?
Have her do what?
Have you had her speaking or humming or singing as you drive backwards?
She's quite talkative, but she doesn't sing. She likes
Have
to
you
talk.
Noticed any tremors or squeakiness in her voice as you drive backwards?
Yes. Yes, there's a tightness in her throat and a real a tension, and then as we drive backwards, it tends to relax, but we can't really seem to get into a very long groove. I mean, we've only been able to do it for about 8 minutes at a time.
So, but, I mean, you know, I'm not an expert on voice, but that sounds like interference from the sphere of Mars, the Donald sphere. Aurora, are you familiar with the Donald sphere?
Definitely. I mean, it plays a great role in the tremors of the voice, particularly when motion is involved, more likely retrograde motion in most circumstances.
The planet Mars.
Reverse motion.
Yeah, the sphere of the planet. You know, the planet, of course, we're all aware, is only a manifestation of the sphere of Mars in our dimension.
Yes.
But Mars is considered by the ancients to be the Great Seal
The
Great Seal. The Elder Seal.
The Great Field.
Yeah. What one option would be is to have her try to soul travel to Mars.
While we're going backwards?
Or, you know, no, actually...
In a bathtub usually is easier.
Yeah.
Fill your bathtub completely with water and add green salt to it. And have
green salt?
Yes, green salt.
Okay.
Yeah, just have her make sure she's stationary, because if she's moving, then there can be disrupting.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
It's hard to say what will have a positive effect.
How do you connect? How could she connect? Okay, she's sitting in a bathtub with green salts, and she's connecting with Mars.
Mm-hmm.
So is there, how do you get into that vibration?
Well,
usually, if she's having a hard time getting there by herself, having a lump of iron around you in her hand can help great, just for the visual stimulus and the resonance that brings.
Okay. I just have one other question, then I want to hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoy the show. But I've noticed when we're driving backwards that her back clears up, but I get these god-awful hangnails. And it just, it makes me bite my nails when we're done. And so she's much more comfortable, much more relaxed, and her back is cleared up with that awful, awful acne for the moment. And then I have almost ingrown hangnails, and it's just on my fingers. It's not on my toes. I had one on my toe, but it wasn't significant. It seems to be predominantly on my hands. Is there a hand chakra or something that? I'm trying to get some advice for myself now.
Are you usually the one driving?
Yes, always.
So, I mean, of course, the so straightforward option is to see if you could get, I know it seems strange, but it's not uncommon these days for women to drive. And if she were to drive, that might help. Another option is...
She's not very good. I agree totally, and I've asked her this, but she doesn't like driving backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's a very good driver. Yes.
The other option is if you have... grass in your lawn.
Grass.
Yeah, like just green grass the high quality grass. That if you can hold, I know this is a little bit tricky, but if you can hold a little clump of grass in your hands while you're driving, between your hand and the steering wheel, that will do is that puts sort of a spiritual coating about the. About your fingernails, and hopefully should poison the flea. Flee the poison from the stars, and will leave your fingernails in solitude.
Well, is there any relationship to her getting better and me getting a tiny bit worse?
Well, not directly. I think that you may also be, the funny thing is you may also be feeling this influence of Mars, but you are more attuned to it. So as you drive backwards, you reduce the influence and it causes you harm. So, it's not directly related. But it's interesting that you are both affected by this fear of Mars in particular. Is your house northward facing?
Northward. It's actually facing west.
So it's your bed is northward facing.
Well, my bed is our heads, when we're in our bed and we're looking at the television, we're looking north.
So that might also have something to do with it. So, that's something a little radical, but if you want to experiment with that, try making it face east. And that might have some...
Turn it around and turn it side. It's square, so we could really kind of do it in either direction.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like directions have some sort of direct impact on skin and nails, so... I really appreciate you doing the show. It's been very helpful.
Thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you very much. I totally enjoy the show and look forward to it every week.
Okay. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Ma'asalam. This is a really interesting problem.
Yes, one that takes many types of meditation and studies into effect.
Fear of Mars is, it's very, you know, complicated.
Oh, definitely. There are just so many different ways to respond to these different stimuli. They are so far removed from us and yet essentially so very close that it's difficult to understand all the different responses.
Yeah, a tale is whispered that at some future time, the stars will move and they will align and their pattern will endure and the world will become wholesome.
It's certainly a beautiful future to look for. We can do the best to align ourselves.
To align ourselves like we are stars.
Yeah. And create our own future.
A future that no pen has written.
But that has been lived by millions before us.
A future that no living creature has looked upon.
And yet is in constant endurance in this circle.
And out of no, go ahead, Aurora.
Sorry.
No, please.
I was reminiscing. This trip in the forest makes life appear so simple and pure and beautiful. And such an alignment would bring that to light across the globe. That there are creatures that live and die and allow other creatures to live. And we are essentially living the same life over and over again. So perhaps we're already in some sort of alignment. And just in the future point, we will see it from a different perspective.
Aurora, are you still with us?
I am.
Oh, we can hear you, Aurora.
Excellent.
Well, it's 7:58 now here in WMBR in Cambridge. So sadly, it is time to say goodbye.
It was great to be on the show again. Albeit remotely.
Thank you for joining us, Aurora.
Thank you for bringing me into the circle.
So, ma'a salama from Dr. Jalis Sakran.
Namaste from Aurora.
Music for Human Beings is on every Friday night at 7 p.m. helping to present a doctrine of tolerance. Stay tuned now for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. Ma'a salama.
Dad on the inside, reaching for the TV remote. Mom looks at Jimmy. Jimmy takes his feet off the table. Kelly with the...
You can't get exercise jockeying for the remote. Your body needs real activity, and so do your bones. Without weight-bearing exercise, you could lose bone mass.
But it's Dad down on the shag. He smothers the remote. It's Dad by a full body length.
Go to AAOS.org. Then get up, get out, get moving. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
Good evening, Boston. You are listening to